We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yes, sir. We got Darius. I'm going to call him Shutdown Corner Slay is coming to the building.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Former Detroit Lion, newly acquired cornerback for the Philadelphia Eagles. We got Darius Slay in the building. Let's go.
In the building. Three-time Pro Bowler, first team All-Pro. And don't forget to subscribe on the Himalaya app or wherever you get your podcast.
Yes, sir. And while you're subscribing, also subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Terrell Lawrence. If you want to see our beautiful faces, you want to see the video version of the audio that we're doing on Tuesdays. On Thursday, we release the video portion of it, youtube.com/Terrell Lawrence.
Welcome to Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast. It's your host, Hatch, with my boy.
Yep, yep. This is T.O. in the building. We got Darius Slay
coming to the building today.
Absolutely.
Three-time Pro Bowler, right? All pro. Yep. Newly of the Philadelphia Eagles. You had your beginning your career with the Detroit Lions. Got traded in February it was this year, 2020. Yep. So how'd that whole process go? You know, you weren't one of those guys to find out you got traded on ESPN on the ticker, was you? You know, your agent called you ahead of time, right?
I found out ahead.
All right, did you just tell him, give me the money or I'm up out of this piece? I'm up out of here, man. Pay me or I'm up out of here. Show me the money.
Sound about right.
That's funny. Yeah. Now that's your big second deal, right?
I'm on my third deal. Yeah, third that's my deal? Third
okay.
deal.
First of all, let's say congratulations. Like I said, you know, you're one of the top corners in the game. I know a lot of people kind of disrespect you in your eyes, as well as, you know, people who know they're playing, play this game. You know, people like when they try to mention the top, you know, two corners or top three corners, your name doesn't come up a lot. But, you know, like I said, three Pro Bowls in a row, probably going for four. Now you're in a bigger market. You got a chance to make it to that Super Bowl this year playing with the Eagles. Like, how's this, you know, are you kind of gearing towards, like, it's your time to shine right now?
Well, shoot, I think every time my time to shine. So, shoot, I approach the field the same way as if I was anybody else. If I was on the Eagles, Lions, any other team, I go out there to go out and compete and play my heart out, you know. So, I'm looking forward to a new chapter, though, so I'm ready for it.
All right. Because, I mean, I said T.O. was a big name in the league when he was with the 49ers, as you know. But when he went to Philly, he was like a rock star. Like them Philly fans, it's a total different market. Like, if he went out there balling, of course, you know, the numbers helped. But when he went from San Fran, which is a big market, to Philly, them Philly fans, they accepted him, they loved him. And I think, like I said, from, of course, you were there, T, but I think from outside looking in, his status went, you know, from here all the way up to here because he was balling in Philly.
Yeah. I heard about Philly, man. They said they wild here. The fans are crazy, man. They be on your head now. They said, if you're good, you're good. But if you start sucking it up, they're going to let you know.
Right, right. Yeah. So just to shed a little light about that. Yeah, just as I had said, I mean, obviously, like I said, you know, being, you know, kind of traded, you know, they tried to trade me to Baltimore, but I wasn't really too keen on that move. And so I ended up getting traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. And obviously with my skill set, I just felt that I was better suited for the offense, for the team, the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Baltimore Ravens at that particular time. At that particular time, they had a quarterback starting at the by the name of Cal Bowler. And so for me, I didn't feel like that was a great situation, great fit for me.
And but Baltimore.
Right, right. Yeah, so for you, you know, obviously coming over from the Detroit Lions, I think it really ever since I was playing, Hatch was playing, and even after that, you guys haven't really, you know, well, I can't say you guys anymore, but your team, that city hasn't really seemed to get over the hump. Obviously, Matthew Stafford there. Obviously, they had Calvin Johnson, a great receiver in him. He ended up retiring early, and even prior to that, they had Barry Sanders. What do you think it is that about the Detroit Lions, the city or what have you, that's unable to really get beyond, I guess, that stigma of being sort of like the whole, like back in the day, it used to be the Saints, you know what I mean? The Saints, Aints, the Saints, and yeah, just the being the bottom of the barrel. What is it about Detroit that you feel, in your assessment, your opinion, as to why they haven't been able to progress and get out of this mold of being like one of the worst teams in the league?
Mainly because, man, I think we got bad timing down there for some reason. Shoot, my 2014 year, we was the number two defense behind Seahawks, and we was a playoff team. Mm-hmm. But the fact that, you know, at that time, you know, the defense was kind of carrying the team a little bit, and Stafford wasn't Stafford he is today. So, you know, if we had that Stafford that's playing like 2017, 18 mm-hmm. Stafford right now, we'd be a different mm-hmm. team. And, you know, so when the defense went away in 2014, next year we lost Sue. You know, so it's like my thing is, I just think the Lions don't never. I ain't gonna say they don't want to win, but they don't know how to keep a whole solid team together. You know, so as mm-hmm. in, you know, like how the Seahawks, you know, whatever it took to keep them that back end together, they did it for the longest they can, because that was their strong suit. And you know, at the time, our D line was our strong suit, and we ain't keep them boys together. You know, we let Sue go, we let Nick Fairley go, and at that time it was kind of hard to try to replace them two guys, because them boys are very dominant. And then, you know, so we're back in rebuilding character, you know. So every time it felt like we was in a rebuild mode. And I think that was different, because every time we're losing the key thing and we're not keeping the whole thing together. And so it's no getting no used to. It's no figuring out. And so, yeah, man, that's what I feel like it was. Mostly it's just always been bad timing and not trying to keep the team together.
Right. So now with the expectations, obviously you going from that situation, that market over to the Philadelphia market, obviously is a big difference. What are your expectations? I can tell you when I left San Francisco, and that's what I was alluding to earlier, when I left San Francisco going to the Philadelphia Eagles, I already knew kind of what they had in tow. They had all these guys that were the nucleus, especially on the back end. They had Brian Dawkins up front. You know, they had Jeremiah Trotter. They had Hollis Thomas, Corey Simon, all these guys. So defensively, they were intact. And so for me, I came over and just added another explosive element to their offense with the quarterback in Donovan McNabb. They had at running back Correll Burkhalter, receivers. They had Todd Pinkston. So me coming over from San Francisco, obviously playing against them for a number of years, I knew that the expectations were really, really high. So you being who you are, obviously one of the top corners in the league, those trust me, those fans, they know who you are. They've done their homework. So they're coming in, you going in there, they're expecting big plays out of you. So going into this season, what are your personal goals, your expectations? Then, you know, obviously there are those team goals. What do you expect? Because as Hatch alluded to, there's those fans, they're very passionate. There's the Eagles fans, the Dallas Cowboys fans, you have the Raiders fans, but I played with some of the top franchises in the league. There's nothing like those fans in Philadelphia.
Oh man, believe me, I know when I came here last year, boy, playing against them, they was not there snapping on me, you know, all kind of everything. But shoot, my expectations is to come in, man, fit in, and do what I need to do, man. You know, give my all. I gotta do every week. Play my hardest. You know, I don't put no expectations on what kind of year I'm gonna have. You know, I'm gonna be whatever the Lord bless me with. I'm gonna be grateful for it. So, but I know one thing they go get from me is a hardworking guy and a guy that's gonna go out there and compete. And I'm, you know, what they need me to do. I always been going against number ones. They need me to do that. That's what I do. And you know, I'll travel, follow wherever they go. I can go. It don't matter. I'm just here for the job, man. And I love to compete and I love to go against the best. So, like I said, whatever they need me to do, I'm ready. And I'm ready to go.
Sure. Well, speaking of you going up against ones, you know, this guy, this old man over here, just he always talking, right? And he made a comment last week before you got on. Not before you got on saying, you know, well, he thinks he can have some that success that, you, that he go work you. So
Slay will get that work.
Here's the situation, Slay.
Slay will get
right.
That
hold on, T. Hold on now. So you got you got the old number 81 with the Eagles, Mr. Owens. He put that jersey on in that green, right? He got let's say he got McNabb at quarterback. So he got somebody who can throw on the ball, and you go out there on the island. Out of 10 reps, how many catches T.O. get right now at 46 years old? Right now, right now,
man. Right now.
Right now, at 46 year old, out of 10 reps, how many catches you give him?
If we in the field, he might catch three. Now, red zone, I might give him maybe five, maybe.
Okay.
Because, you know, okay. He's a big body. He knows how to use the body.
But okay.
We got T. field.
Three?
T, how many you going to have out of 10, T?
I'm at least 70 to 80%. At least 70 to 80%. At least 70-80%.
Hey, Slay, you hear this dude? You hear this dude? Hey, the old man. You gotta treat him like an old man, Slay.
Hey, trust me. Hey, they all had that mindset, those ideas until they see one thing on film, and then when it's live, it's a whole different animal. I'm a whole different animal. They underestimate that speed because when you look at film, you're like, oh, my God, okay, I can do this. Or they see a little tendency here and there. But I mix it up because, like I said, I know how defensive coordinators, they game plan. And so me being the smart person that was, I knew that defensive backs, if I thought they were really, really smart, I knew that they were going to defensive game plan as well because they look at little tendencies here and there. So, again, Every game is not the same. Like, every defensive back is not the same. And I'm sure he can attest to every receiver is not the same. So, again, it'll probably be, like I said, he plays me one time. I go against him one time. It'll be one way. Then, obviously, the second meeting will probably be a little bit different. He might need a little help.
We're not talking game time situation. We're talking one-on-one. That's all. Oh, you got one-on-one.
That's a wrap. You already know what it is. If I got you at quarterback, I might take a couple of catches away because he can't really throw. But I give him a little head nod here and there. He can throw that thing a little bit, but once that little pistol arm,
once I get tired, I can't throw no more, Slay. You know what I'm saying? But the first half hour, I'll be slinging that thing.
Oh yeah, he's slinging. Yeah, he's slinging about the first 30, 45 minutes. Anything after that.
I'm noodle arm.
No, man, but I've been watching you, man. You're a great defensive back, man. I'm disappointed because a lot of guys, when I hear about some of the top corners in the league, your name don't really come up. Is that because of, you know, you're in Detroit, you're not really getting the notoriety, this and that and the other? Yeah. Obviously, you're getting those personal goals, the accolades. Obviously, you're going to the Pro Bowls.
Three straight Pro Bowls. Pro. Yeah.
Yeah, you're all pro. There's a lot of that. Again, is that because of the market that you were in?
Gotta be, because my 2017 year.
You led the league in interception in 2017.
Yeah, 17 and PBU. So I had double everybody in picks, double PBUs, 26 of them, 8 picks. And still wanted to call the name as like the best corner in the league in 2017. I said, that's crazy. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a numbers game. This is a numbers game. My numbers speak, and I was doing what everybody else wanted to see. Mm-hmm. I was following the number ones. I was a travel corner. I was seeing the best every week, and I'm out here putting up numbers like that, and I ain't considered the best yet. Y'all got to stop this, but it's just all I did is maybe it just made me grind harder, man. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe you got to talk a little more trash or something, man. Because
that's what it looked like. Because
I understand. Trust me, I'm not endorsing you to go out there and talk trash this year. I mean, you're gonna obviously, like I said, you're gonna have a lot of primetime games, especially being the Philadelphia Eagles. You're gonna get those matchups.
Yeah.
You're gonna get the primetime games, like I said. But sometimes you gotta, you gotta be a little mouthy, you know. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You look at primetime Deion Sanders, you know what I mean? He had to play with a little flair, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, but like I said, if you're not getting the proper recognition that you deserve, then you gotta maybe you got to find a way to get it. Even when you talk about the top, you know, top 100 guys in the league, you're ranked like, what, I think, what, 83rd or something? Come on.
So, yeah, Pro Football Focus had you ranked as the 83rd at your position. But like I said, Deion, Tyrone Matthew, they came out and kind of defended you or whatever. But that's kind of ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Yeah, that's ridiculous. Whoever put that up there is ridiculous.
That was crazy. Yeah, Pro Football, man. Sometimes that PFF be talking crazy sometimes. I don't know what they be talking about. No, they need to be solid.
They're watching a whole different game. Yeah, they're watching a whole different game.
Yeah.
So again, take us back a little bit though. Like I said, you're a second round pick of the Detroit Lions, right? Second round. Mm-hmm. So, but take us back to again what happened through your high school and college career. You know, kind of those transition years of you becoming a corner because you played running back as well in high school. So, kind of take us through those transition years of you just becoming a corner throughout this process.
Well, I had a great high school coach. My high school coach had came in my senior year. And he changed me from running back to receiver and corner. But I played receiver a little bit when I was young still, but I was like mainly the running back. But so he came in and told me already what kind of player I am. He kind of scouted me a little bit. He basically said, hey, man, you're a receiver or you're a DB. You want to be rich, though, go play DB. And I said, that's what I'm going to do. So I was playing offense just because of the fact that, you know, I was kind of skilled guy, faster than everybody. Not too much bigger than nobody, but faster for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I played corner. So, you know, he got there. I got my first couple of D1 offers and that was that of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, now where were you trying to go when you left high school? Where'd you want to go when you left high school?
Well, I had offers from Tennessee, Mississippi State, Kentucky, and Troy. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones I took visit to. So, I chose Mississippi State though out of high school, and I felt like that's what best fitted for me. At, you know, far away from home, I ain't want to be close to home. I ain't even put Georgia on there. They recruited me, and offered me, but I ain't want to go nowhere close to home. So, I had chose Mississippi State to go far away, so I won't be too encouraged to come back to the crib. So, and then I had to go to junior college, so I had to go in Owamba. And that was Mississippi State placed me at right there in Mississippi, at the one on Mississippi. Played my years there, had a good years there. And got Mississippi State, did what I did there, and now I'm, you know, to the league.
All right. So again, I think we always talk a lot about this show about, you know, these guys. Again, they think a lot of the kids out there, like, I have to go to Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State just to go to the league. But again, like you said, you went to a junior college for a couple of years, then you went to Mississippi State. And you ran a 10-9 in high school. It's not like you didn't have the physical talent, but again, your path was different. I'm not just ready for the NFL tomorrow. It's not just an easy linear path to the NFL, right? There's going to be some steps and movement you're going to have to go through for this process.
Oh yeah, a lot of steps, man. It was rough, you know. Shoot, I didn't even get to Mississippi State until the spring.
Wow.
So, because you know, it was hard for them. Grades was that thing was difficult, man.
Yeah.
Studying, I'm like, man, look here. I left all this. So when I got there, I got there, but it was very late. Like I said, man, like my path was different, man. Don't make it, everybody trying to go, you know, D1, D1, they feel like they'll fail, they go D1. I said, if you've been in this league long enough, you're going to figure out a lot of kids, a lot of men went the JUCO route, you know.
Absolutely.
So, And that's in the trenches. We call it the trenches when we're in the league right now. They like, man, I've been through them trenches.
Yeah.
So, man, it's rough, you know. Food was bad, you know. But it humbles you, man, when you get there. So it makes you work at the hard. That's why I got that mentality now to work hard, man. Because, you know, I felt like I took a hard path and I need to get there. And right now I'm at the top. I want to make it easy for myself. So I still try to make it hard as I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because I guess that's the what you're going through now. Again, the transition from the Eagles from Detroit to the Eagles, that's not a harder transition than your JUCO days. You know what I'm saying? It's just not. You know, like, it's people on the outside like, oh, can he go to Philly and can he do? I'm like, well, that's easy. Like, I've been, you know, not eating and going out and practicing for 4 hours. Like, that's the real struggle in college days.
I'm telling you, go out there. Hey, boy, college bus, they just feed us too much, though. Lead is to make me feel fat.
Yeah.
I'm going to be feeding you down there at college. Definitely Mississippi.
in the SIP. Now you was down there with what, Deshae Townsend was your DB coach?
Oh yeah, well, you were my DB coach at the time though.
Okay, yeah,
because I know Deshae was Memphis. I know, but Towns my dude now. I went down there with some kids out there. He cool people, man.
Yeah, he with the Bears cool now. He with the Bears
yeah.
now. So
yeah, I know. Yeah, I see him all the time.
So that's what's up. So cool. So from there again, so you left Mississippi State, you got to Detroit. Again, that process of how from college to NFL, how was that? Like I say, because I know you were talking about, like say, T's a big receiver. I was a big receiver, you know, 6'3". Receivers, like those are big dudes. So what was it like your first time seeing some of these big NFL receivers?
Yeah, I was going to ask the same thing. What was that transition like? Because I think we all, like I said, going from college, going into the pros, there's a lot we don't know. There's a lot of kind of uncertainties. And then obviously the game is predicated on speed. I said, of all us, you know, on the screen right here, I'm sure I was probably the slowest, coming out of college, you know, going into pro. Hey, that's one thing I'm going to tell you nothing but the truth. I'm a realist. But yeah, I mean, that was one of the things for me that I had to adjust to was the speed of the game. So obviously you being one of the top corners in the league, obviously, like I said, when you have that speed, and obviously, like I said, we've done some homework on you. Obviously you're, when they assess your skill set, everybody say you're really smooth with your swivel of your hips. You know what I mean? You can move, just as quick, turning your hips as somebody going, straight backwards. However, I mean, your hips are real, real, real nice. You can transition with any receiver. What was that like going from like a small school, then obviously going to, Mississippi State, that bit of that talent. And then obviously now you're going from really the Division I level. Now you're going to compete against some of the best of the best. How was that transition for you?
It was smooth for me from JUCO to the SEC, because I got there, man. I was kind of like, man, this is what the D1 is. It's kind of easy,
right?
And nice. I ain't trying to be cut like I was crazy. I'm pretty much kind of gifted, man, being fast, and that's what it was. My athletic ability was like real skyrocketing. I had and I only played 1 year at Mississippi State, and came out the next year. Yep. So came there to Mississippi State and led the SEC in picks. And went second round, So it was kind of smooth. But then when I got to the league, the thing would be was damn me going against Calvin every day.
That was no easy task.
That would be dude, my whole rookie year. I didn't knock a ball down from not one day in practice, and they had me following him everywhere he went. I had to go if it was any kind of man call, and it was like crazy, he was almost a confident shutter. He was kind of like that torching me. And, and he an old quiet guy too. And one of them guys that don't talk mess, he just like, I just beat you up out here,
Did that make you mad? Cause like I said, sometimes I know as a controller, you want people to kind of talk trash, but then there's those ones that are just really silent. They make you even angrier.
I'm the silent killer.
You're trying to do something to get a little rise out of him. But yeah, I know Calvin too. Like, yeah, he's one of those quiet guys, very humble. I'm sure from what I've gathered, especially when I went from San Francisco to Philly and then talking to some of the DBs when I went over there, they said I presented a challenge, not when I just played against them, but when I practiced against them every day, it almost said that I made them better to where games were that much easier. Is that the same assessment that you're getting from
me? I got to give him all my credit for who I am today, because I'm telling you, every day, it was a dog fight with him every day. And I ain't knocked no ball down to him to the second year, and that's when I got confident. When I started knocking the balls down, my confidence got more crazy. And with me going against him, I'm going against Calvin Johnson every day, one of the greatest. And everybody else could become easy. And what was difficult for me was, like, people don't understand, but what was hard for me was the ball adjusting, because the ball ain't had no stripe on it. And the stripe was so easy to see in college that I know when to jump, I know when to knock it down, I know close. And now the fact that the stripe gone, when I got to the league, I was too scared even like to pick it, because I was like, I don't know if I'm far enough from it. I don't know if it's too close. And so that's why I have a lot of PBU, you know, because I was kind of like, if it wasn't guaranteed pick, I was like, man, I didn't attempt this because, like, I don't know. I ain't want to mess up. I was like, well, I can knock it down, you know.
Right. Wow,
you know, the game got slower. I understood the game, understood the ball, how the velocity of the ball and all that kind of stuff. But when you see that deep ball, you got them jokers throwing fade balls, and you looking, and you can't find it in that light, and that thing goes in your face. So I just swipe.
Right, right. Just swiping at anything out there. Swipe left, swipe left.
Well, I mean, even just listening, man, even listening to you describe, you know, how you are very attentive, that just shows me that your attention to detail, very cerebral as a defensive back. I mean, you're almost like a quarterback back there, but you're playing DB, you're playing cornerback, and you know, really picking up on some of those tendencies and those little smaller intricacies of the game. Like I said, I've never heard talk to a DB that described it like that and understood and saw that transition going from college to the pros, talking about, you know, they paid attention to the stripes. Obviously, we know what's on there, but yeah, I mean, that's a great detail to your game, and let everybody know that's listening that you're not just your average corner. You're one of those top guys, and it's very unfortunate that they don't give you the credit that you deserve, but we're going to pump you up right here and get your popcorn ready.
There it is.
Myself and Hatch, man, we're going to give you your just due. Yeah, we're talking to Darius Slay, newly acquired cornerback with the Philadelphia Eagles. We're looking for some great big things from him. Man, yes, we appreciate you, man. Yeah, just keep doing your thing, man. But I like those details to everybody that's listening, especially, you know, your moms and dads and granddads and aunts and uncles out there listening. You know, you heard it from one of the greatest corners, you know, today. Like, you heard what I said, one of the greatest cornerbacks today, and Darius Slay. You're listening to him talk about those details of transitioning from high school to college, you know, you with the JUCO, obviously had, you know, no path is the same. And we have one of the guys here today. We are greatly appreciative of what you have brought with your knowledge today, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
And let's appreciate y'all having me.
Yeah, man. Give us a little bit of, again, from your first, second year, like I said, that was the physical stuff. Like I said, covering Calvin definitely helps you, you know, tremendously over time. But give us kind of like the mental approach as well. Like, how much film do you watch now compared to when you were watching your first and second year in the league?
Okay. Well, my first 2 years in the league, I was like trying to study everything. Mostly my first year. So I just wanted to be right. You know, I'm in the professional league, you know, they took a chance on me because, you know, I had 1 year SEC on my belt, and, you know, so I didn't want to be that guy not to mess up, because I knew a lot of guys depended on me. So, my first year, man, I was just studying, you know, and I didn't have a great first year because I was hurt a lot. And, but Rasheem Mathis, man, the OG from my OG at corner, you know, one of my biggest influence, him and Glover Quinn. And after my first year, it was rough, man, because I was studying so much. Now it was like it wasn't helping. So I set my second year down. I went to Rasheem Mathis. Rasheem taught me how to watch film, you know, all over again. And he basically broke it down as in like Slade going there with game plan with two, maybe three formations, and that's it. Because as a rookie, I was anything he did in 2x2, I said it out loud. 3x1, you know, backside tight end. You know, I had so many formations in my head that it was slowing me down because I'm trying to look on the other side, be like, hey, what's over there?
Confusing yourself.
Confusing myself, slowing the game down myself, you know.
Right.
So she ain't like, Slade, you're not going to stop everything, you know. You ain't going to stop it like that. So he had broken down how to watch film. So now I go into the game plan with two formations. And if I see that formation, I'm stealing it. That's what I'm going to go get. You know, anything else, I just play ball and compete. And he taught me the more you play, the longer you play, the more you start understanding formations without even studying them. And I'm to the point now that, you know, I see this type of pattern without even studying it, I'm just going to do it. Because the game ain't no different than the 1950s, except for we just polished it up the routes. You know, more athletic guys doing the routes.
Right. Yeah,
you know, so and I started realizing that, trusting that, and then that's when my game started elevating every day.
Yeah, Hatch played in the 1950s. So yeah,
he knew exactly. You
he,
older?
He running that, that same simple hitch flat.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, this exactly, is this yeah. dude. This dude is older than me. How he gonna talk? You older than me, dog? What hey, you talking about?
You look older than me, and you move older.
You out your mind. I definitely move older, dog. Yeah,
Hey, like I said, his body's from the 1950s.
My hip is from the 1950s. Absolutely. No, that's all good. So again, you know what's funny, because again, I always talk about the wide receiver DB relationship. I think there's just nothing like it in sports, because a lot of my good friends in the league were always like a DB for some odd reason. But on the field, like, I could not stand a corner. Like I said, I can talk to you right now, but if we were like to go out and work out, like T would know. We go out and work out, and you on the other side, the feeling, the emotion automatically starts, I got to kill this dude. You know what I'm saying? But it's like that wide receiver DB relationship is just funny, because we all good off of respect off the field, but between them white lines, it's just, you know, I can't stand you. I hate everything about you.
I like all the receivers too. I don't got no only person I didn't like at one time was Dez Bryant, but we cool now though. That's the only one. I ain't never heard nobody don't shut up a whole game in my life. Like he, I said, bro, there's no way you got this much energy to keep talking to me, bro.
So he,
like,
would just talk the whole game, huh?
Well, he clearly wasn't doing a whole lot of talking.
Huh?
I said he couldn't have been doing too much if he was doing all that talking.
He wasn't doing nothing. That's what I'm saying. Like, we was in the playoff against Dallas, mm-hmm. and I'm over here, and you know, he got hurt the second play of the game, so I had to go follow Dez. This is when I started following receivers, because when Sheen got down, so yeah, this is the game that kind of sort of like put me out there like that. So I went to clamping him up, but he just was like, they just ain't throwing me the ball, F nigga, like this, that, that, that. I'm like, God, I ain't even saying nothing to him, you know what I'm saying? I like to just go out there, chill, coast, play ball, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the one time he got under my skin, right, because he was like, don't think I forgot who you is, number 30. I remember you was 30. And he had mossed me in the back of the end zone back with the helmet, with the ball one hand kick.
Yeah.
He said, you still number 30?
He brought you back.
Oh yeah, he got me under my skin. He said that number ain't changed who you is. I said, ooh. Ooh. I got hot. So they gave me one calls little cover two call. And I was like, ooh, this is my chance right here. I got a safety over top. I'm finna bam his ass. Man, he came to that line of scrimmage and started dancing. I just jumped up there, smacked him. Right? He got hot. He was like, he started kind of like, you know, he got real hot. Then that's when he started spitting and stuff. Me and him got into it real bad. He got mad.
So he got, okay. got a little aggressive, huh?
Yeah, I had to take my chances and cover 2-2. I said, man, this is my time.
Yeah, I like the way you describe that too, because now that allows people, especially DBs that are listening, especially young kids, like I said, especially the dads that are trying to groom their kids, obviously, to play receiver, DB. Like you said, when you understand concepts, you're more comfortable and more confident in what you can do and what you can't do. So right. as you described, you just said it yourself.
Cover two.
You got help over top. So you can do what you want. You can take some chances here, knowing that, okay, if I miss, I still got hip over the top. But that's one of those things, like I said, you being very, very knowledgeable, very cerebral. And like I said, whether it was formation or not, you knew that your back end had your back, man. So that's, right. like I said, you're constantly shedding knowledge and sharing knowledge with not only myself, Hatch, and just the audience that's listening. And speaking of like these competitive like receivers, as you said, Dez is probably like the one that kind of got under your skin a bit.
Yeah, he got on me.
Dez, at one point, he was considered one of the top receivers in the league. Who were some of your tough competitors or
your nemesis?
Yeah, in today's game, because there's a number. You got Michael Thomas, you got OBJ,
you got Julio.
You got a number of guys, you know, that are out there. Like I said, that can stretch the field, can run all the routes in the route tree. Who is some of the best? Like you said, your nemesis, your best competition out there.
My best competition I have for sure is Davante Adams, for sure. Oh, you know, I see him twice a year, and he was freaky off the line of scrimmage. You know, great routes. You know, but the best in the game is by far is Julio. You know,
there it is. That's what's up.
Yeah, man. I had the safety. My safety told me like the difference between him, Hawk, and Mike Thomas, and he made a perfect example because at safety, if you back there at safety with him, with Julio, and you see him running at you, you feel his presence on the field. Like I gotta get on my back.
I gotta get up and run.
Because if I don't, he finna run past me. Mm-hmm. And guys, like, you know, I'm not saying they're not taking their credibility away, you know, from Mike Thomas and DeAndre, though. But you feel when they run in a go route, you don't feel that as a safety on your pressure. You know, you don't feel that.
There's a difference in speed.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You don't feel their presence. You'll be like, okay, he out there, but you know, he ain't, you know, but you know, they still great receivers, but it's just the fact that that will separate Julio. But the fact that when he running at you and then he just stop on the dime in front of you, like, but you don't got scared because the fact that he done probably done ran by you already twice.
Hey, you got it's like a difference in cars. You got your Lamborghinis, you got your Corvette,
right?
You got what some of these fast cars?
Your Porsche. You got a Porsche. Yeah.
You got all that.
Ferrari.
There's a lot different under these hoods. That horsepower is a little bit different, if you will. So, yeah. I worked out with Julio a couple of summers ago, man. And, this guy right here, he got an engine, boy. I'm talking about.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. Every power.
Every play. You're going to feel it every play.
Yeah, very explosive, man.
Well, shoot, like I said, you know, on this show, we always gotta talk about top five. And you know, you're a corner. You seem like you studied the game. You studied the past game and the present, of course. But give us your top five all time corners. We're gonna put you on the spot. I wanna see what you. You can put yourself in there, and as a corner, if you want, you can put yourself in there. But again, I want to hear your top five corners all time. And so you can't be wrong because this is your opinion.
Yeah, this is your entitled.
But of course, prime. You know, that's everybody. But you know, but I'm a big Rod fan. Rod Woodson. You know, that's my number two.
Pittsburgh.
He could easily be number one, you know. But you know, I see it as just the go, you know, I see it as in Deion the one really kind of identified the corner position, you know, mm-hmm. just like Jordan identified the shoot guard position.
Right. There it is.
My third one. I'm going Charles.
C-Wood. Okay.
I go C-Wood, man. The third guy. That's who I go at. And, you know, I either go Champ.
This work is difficult.
Yeah. It's like a gift, but I go with Champ right now.
Okay,
sure.
Okay.
He from where I'm from, man. He down the road from me, man. That's all we knew. All the Bailey boys. You know, if you ain't talking football, you ain't talking about you talking about the Baileys for sure.
Wow. Okay.
So you got Prime.
So who's your last? Your Wood, last one.
C-Wood.
And then Charles Woodson, then Champ Bailey.
Champ Bailey.
So now you're gonna have to. It's gonna be between like a Revis.
It's Reeve, the best Reeve, man. I say the Reeve, the best man corner I ever seen. My eyes, personally, you know.
Okay.
Reeve.
I think nobody never did what he did yet, and I still, as in just man pressing in this generation, this type of game, this game here. Guys are too athletic, and he done had a lot of zero mm-hmm. mans out there going crazy. So I give Reeve five. Then Sherm.
Sherm is five and a half. Okay, so T, this is for you then. So of course, you being a Jordan fan, it sounds like you watched the documentary, right? You watched the doc on the Bulls, right, Slay?
Yep.
So you remember when Mike looked at the iPad when they're talking about Gary Payton, and he just started laughing. He said, "I ain't got no problem with the glove," right?
Right.
So T, off of this list, who do you have no problem with? If they're out of this list of five, who do you have no problem with? Right, Deion, Rob Woodson, Charles Woodson, Champ Bailey, Darrell Revis. Who you have no problem with off this list?
You talking about just my opinion? Who
for you? who do you have no problem? Like I said, if you was going up one-on-one against one of these five, who you got no problem with? You got to pick one of the five.
The easiest or the hardest?
The easiest for you to beat.
Oh, the easiest? Oh, man.
Like you said, like Mike said, he just laughs at it. I ain't got no problem with the glove.
Right. I probably have to say C. Wood. Like, I gave him the business. You can check my stats against him. When he came to San Fran, I had like 12 for 190 something. I went to Oakland, and I had like 12 for 190 something. Like, ooh. I went to work. Trust me.
Eat don't him. Look at say, like you said, trust I got no problem with the glove.
It was, bro, trust me. And what it was is just like he said, like for me, it was motivation. Because like I knew coming from a small school and like playing in San Fran, I played under – really kind of played under Jerry and JJ, and I had to make a name for myself. So as I became a household name,
you know, the Heisman winner.
Right. So then, like I said, I knew, like, I watched him. I saw him, you know, play Michigan, Rose Bowl. Yeah. You know, he had the rose in his mouth, all this. So, you know, the pregame leading up to that week, you know, they got the pregame matchup, this and that. And so it was me and him. So for me personally, like I said, I didn't really say a whole lot. I just went out there and just did my thing. At the end of the day, check my stats, check that box. Boy, I went
check to, that
I
box. Was,
nigga, I clammed.
I love it.
I had my stats on ready. But for me, I knew what I had to bring because Charles is such a great corner. So I knew I had to bring that work with him every play. You know what I mean? Because I knew, like I said, when you give somebody like that an inch, you know, you give them a little confidence. Then, like I said, they're going to try to take you out your game. So I just went with that pressure. I tried to apply that pressure in the run game as well as the pass game. Even, like I said, I try to keep the DBs on their toes. Even if it's a run play, I'm not going to give you any tips that I'm like, oh, I'm taking some plays off. Anybody that played against me, they'll tell you, I'm playing 100% pretty much. If I can breathe, I can play. I'm going to go hard the entire game.
Absolutely. Who you got there with you, Slay? Who you got there?
Oh, baby girl, man.
Yeah, is that the one? I know I saw you at the airport one time. Was it her?
Yeah. Yep. Baby girl.
What's her name?
Yeah.
Desiree.
What's up, Desiree? Yeah, how you doing?
She just got. Hi, Desiree. She's too bad about the floaty. She can't get in the pool.
Oh, man. That's what's up, man.
But no, Slay, we appreciate you coming on, man. Like I said, showing us some love. Like I said, talk a little football with you, man. Do your thing this season. We definitely try to get you up in there, that top three in the corners in the game, baby.
I appreciate y'all having me on, man.
No doubt, man. All the best, man. Hey, yes, sir. Hey, get them fans. Hey, they're going to be ready. Hey, you said you blue collar.
They're ready.
You hard working. Trust me. You get on the right side of them, boy, you good to go.
Hey, I'm going to be on the right side. That's all I know.
There it is. Get your platform ready. Get Darius Slay in the building. Holla at you. Peace.
All right, now.
All right, boy.
Okay, we got Darius Slay coming to the building. Newly acquired cornerback for the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm looking forward to talk to this guy.
Yep, three-time Pro Bowler. Was first-team All-Pro 2017. Led the NFL in interceptions and PBUs. But for some odd reason, this dude is not mentioned when we're talking about the top two or three corners in the game. So him going to Philly this year, I think he's going to be on a bigger stage. He's going to have a lot more, again, bigger games. I think you got those, you know, Cowboy-Eagles games. You got the Redskin-Eagles games. I think a couple Sunday night, Monday night games like the Eagles always have. So I think him playing in a bigger market, and he plays well this year, I think he'll definitely start being considered up there with the top, you know, two or three corners in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you have Pro Football Talk. Obviously, they have their list of top 100 guys in the league today, and he's ranked like number 80. He's ranked 83rd. I think that's
horrible.
Yeah, exactly. This guy led the leagues and picks PBUs. Obviously, I think a lot of that is attributed to his ranking is because of the market that he's in, the Detroit Lions playing for a team that, you know, they have high hopes every year, but never can get over the hump. They remind me of the Dallas Cowboys. There's always so much hype around them or so much potential that they can't have.
Fulfill.
Yeah, and they just never can get over the hump. So this year, hey, he's going to be on a great team with the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, you got a great quarterback in Carson Wentz. They have some defensive pieces over there.
Yeah.
He's only going to add to that defensive pressure that they got back there on that backside.
There it is. Coming up next, Darius Slay on Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast. And don't just forget to subscribe on the Himalaya app, wherever you get your podcast.
Yes, sir. And definitely tune in to my YouTube channel. You want to see the video version of this. Obviously, you guys are listening to, you know, the great voices of the Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast with my boy Hatch and myself. But definitely go to YouTube, subscribe to my channel. And hey, you get to see us live. In color, beautiful,
that's and me. Full effect. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm, you know, after talking to Darius, I think I'm gonna put him in the top three. I'm gonna put him at like three and a half right now. Like, you know, he's gonna go out. I think he's gonna have a great season this year in Philly. I think after playing 16 games, and I think there'll be a playoff team this year. I think people will start recognizing the talent that he's bringing to the table. Playing against, again, you got you got Mari going to see in Dallas, you know, that one game. You got some, you got your boy Shepherd in New York. You got to see him twice a year. So I think, again, he'll have a good season this year. And I think he'll probably end up being considered in those top two, three and a half conversations of a top corner in the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely. He definitely is going from local news to national news. You talk about different markets. You think mm-hmm. about, you know, playing in Philadelphia, obviously playing in some of the primetime games. Obviously, they're, 2 years removed from the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Definitely, there's a lot of expectations there in Philadelphia. They got DeSean Jackson coming back. He's healthy.
That's right.
They have some great additions with some, a couple of draft picks and Jalen Hurts. So mm-hmm. The cameras, the media attention will be there. And like I said, with him coming over, great addition to their cornerback position. Like I said, he's going to be ready to perform. If not, he will hear about it. That's for sure.
He's going to hear about it from them Philly fans. You know what's funny? When I was a free agent in 2001, I visited, I think the first time I visited was the Dolphins. And then I visited the Eagles. And then I visited the Jets, I think. If I would have signed with the Eagles, I could have maybe been your teammate, buddy. Yeah. If I would have signed with them in like 2001 or 2002, I would have been there when you got to Philly. You know what? I would have been wearing 81 though, and you would have had to get another number.
No, what they would have done, they would have cut you. They would
have cut you. Oh, but no, yeah, that's gonna be good. Darius going to Philly this year. He'll have a ball. So let's go. Three things, our three and out segment. We take three things away from the show. I think number one for me, I think when he was talking about his transition, when he was going from college to the NFL, talking about the stripes on the ball, how that little thing that people just think it's no big deal, it's just a football, we catch the same ball, but his eye discipline he had to have in order to, you know, not look for the stripe on the ball, but still get picks and PBUs in the NFL.
Yeah, man, that was really interesting just to hear. Like I said, how smart he is, you know, just mm-hmm. to have that wherewithal and just attention to detail to his game.
Yeah.
What was the other one we talked about?
The other one was, and the second one I think was learning to watch film again.
Rasheed Mathis, yeah.
Yep, corner for the Lions.
Right, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, honestly, I think that's where a guy understands that he's not as good or as great as he really is. When you mm-hmm. can take some steps back and listen mm-hmm. to a veteran, listen to somebody that has been there before you. Obviously, he had basically, like you said, he was studying film and he wasn't getting anything out of it. Mm-hmm. To then reach out or have a veteran, you know, see that he may have been struggling and see he wasn't getting results that he needed. Just to go in and take that extra time, it says a lot about the veteran in Rasheed Mathis, but then it says a lot about, you know, Darius Slay as well, to be receptive, to understand that, okay, I don't know it all. I'm struggling here and there. In order to get to where I need to be, these are some of the things that I need to, you know, try to hone in and pay more close attention to, and especially the details. And so it was a very unique, you know, understanding from him that I was like, okay, let me figure out how to better my game, because what I'm doing is not working. So obviously to have Rasheed come in and basically kind of reteach him how to see film and watch film was really amazing.
Yeah, I think that kind of tells on really where his career was going to go. If you take, again, our third thing for me was him being humble enough to admit, like I said, when he was going up against Calvin Johnson, right? The great Calvin Johnson. For him to not be able to knock down a pass in a whole year, it's like, that's like, people don't understand. Like, most professional athletes would start to doubt themselves, right? They would start to like, maybe I'm not that good. Maybe I'm not ready for this league. Maybe I'm trash. And they would, and a lot, you'd be fun, be surprised that a lot of guys never recover from that. Like, they don't have the confidence to say, I know I'm going through this right now, but in a couple months or maybe this time next year, I'll be better, and to go through that process and accept it. And that's what he did, because he said the second year he started knocking down passes that were going to be thrown to Calvin Johnson. So I think that's a great, you know, I guess a great example of, even when you're a professional athlete, don't get discouraged. Right? You're going to have to fight through some hard times, and you're not going to have success, especially early in your career.
Yeah. I mean, I went through some of the same things as a receiver, trying to understand how to get off bump and run. Guys saw that there was weaknesses in my game. Free access, I was good. But then every day, you know, when we kind of switched up, we did one-on-ones, we had to do bump and run. That was where it was tough for me to get off the ball. And so those are some things I had to work on. So obviously, like I said, those guys making me realize that I needed to work on my game, it elevated my game at the same time. And that's, if you're going to practice on anything, practice is where to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Over and over again. But yeah, so man, thank you, Darius Slay, for coming on the show, right? Philadelphia Eagles, new acquired corner, three-time Pro Bowler, first team All-Pro, NFL interceptions leader in 2017. Go do your thing, young fella. Philly, go love you, baby.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for tuning in to Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on the Himalaya app or wherever you get your podcast.
Yes, sir. And when you see us on Instagram, you see us on the live, you see us on
IG,
yeah, no doubt, be sure to subscribe, swipe up, and share, because sharing is caring. You know how it is.
It is. Peace.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.